welcome you once again, and we'd like to invite you now to our opening hymn, hymn 420, verses 1, 2, and 7, Christ the Life of All the Living.
Good evening. The first reading, Old Testament lesson today, comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle this evening comes from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is recorded in the book of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and even eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And the father divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to simply feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But while he was younger, still a long way off, his father saw him, and he felt compassion, and he ran, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat, and let us celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked, 'What do these things mean?' And he said to him, 'Brother, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But the older brother was angry, and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you. I never disobeyed you or your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might declare and celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him?' And the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found.' This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. This evening we continue our theme on prayer, and we talk about Daniel and chapter 6. And if you have your Bibles with you or a phone, an iPhone, Android, and want to follow along that way, that would be great. And I just encourage you to open up to Daniel chapter 6. And we'll be going through that. And so as we start to look at that, we wish you to have a message that's based here in God's Word. Daniel chapter 6, Old Testament. Now, as we've shared with you before, Daniel was one of the four captives from Judah who were taken into the Babylonian captivity. And he was one of those four youth who were groomed to become loyal leaders to Babylon, her culture, her foods, and even her religious beliefs. But Daniel, as well as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would not bow to other gods. Their belief, as we found out last week, was to follow only the one true God and worship him only. And so as a result, Daniel, by chapter 6, had served three kings: Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, his son, and Darius, the new king, all of whom had connected and commented and had connected with Daniel for his exemplary service, his interpretations of dreams and writings and the like. He was known as a man of God and filled with wisdom, wisdom that could lead and decipher difficult and troubling problems that no one else in the kingdom could solve. And it seemed all good and well for Daniel that his life was going along very well. Darius, the king, had now also summoned him to have one more of those interpretations. We also must understand that Daniel had risen up through the ranks and was now distinguished as a satrap. You might say a governor of a region and as a leader over an entire area. And as a result, there were about 120 satraps or governors who were spread throughout the Babylonian kingdom. The king intended, King Darius, to promote Daniel and to promote him to be the chief governor or satrap, the one who would oversee the entire kingdom. And as a result, all of them would report to Daniel, who would in turn report to the king. The other satraps or governors were jealous of Daniel. They wanted to subvert his promotion. And so they went to King Darius with a devised plan. These high officials came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O Darius king, live forever." Notice all the flattery and all the pomp and circumstance so they could get in his good favor. "All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are greeted and agree that the king should establish an ordinance, an enforcement, an injunction, that whoever makes petition to any god or any man for 30 days, except to you, O King Darius, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O King, establish this injunction and sign this document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. That cannot be revoked, reversed. Therefore, King Darius, sign the document and the injunction." Now, Daniel knew that they had done this, that they had signed the document, and that it was enforced. But Daniel went to his house in Jerusalem, and the windows of his home opened up to the outside of Jerusalem. And there, three times a day, he sat in prayer, praying to the God of the Bible, praying to the God of Israel, praying in his name. Three times a day, praising God and placing his petitions before him. Daniel had a routine. He had a time where he prayed. Three times, in fact, each and every day. And as you and I start to think about Daniel and his model for prayer and being a prayer, I hope and pray that you and I are able to establish, even perhaps tonight, to be able to say, this is going to be my routine tomorrow and the rest of the week and the month ahead. To say, I'm going to be a man or a woman of prayer. I am going to pray this many times a day. And Daniel, that's what he did. He prayed three times a day to God. And he and God talked often. Daniel did not change this routine, even though he knew the king had signed this injunction. Nothing would deter him from worshiping and praising and praying to his God, his Lord, his Savior. I hope that nothing will deter you. Because as you establish a new habit, there are going to be all kinds of excuses and all kinds of events and all kinds of things that are going to interrupt and come in the way. And as a result, my prayer for you is that you'll be bold and not let anything deter you from your prayer plan. Daniel had served three successive Babylonian kings, and he'd always risen up in their ranks. He had gained their favor. But in this instance, Daniel was in a real pickle. There wasn't anything he could do to get the Medes and the Persians, that law, to be able to be changed. The Bible tells us that the other satraps, they ratted Daniel out. They went and they told the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den?" They had tricked King Darius into signing a binding agreement according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. He certainly didn't intend on trapping Daniel, one of his favorite. And the king, knowing what he had done, tried to rescue Daniel on that very day where they brought this to him until the sun went down, and when these men reminded the king again that no injunction or decree that the king establishes can ever be reversed or changed. Daniel was brought and he was cast down into the den of the lions. And as he was cast into there, the king prayed, "Daniel, may the God whom you serve constantly deliver you." And the stone then covered the mouth of the lion's den. And the king then sealed it with his own ring. That was his signature. And then with that ring and that signature, the den was cast and sealed, and Daniel was left to fate. At this point, Daniel had no earthly effort that was going to spare him. Nothing in this world could reverse this decision. He needed divine deliverance. And I found that there are some situations in our world and in our life where we come to an end of the road where there's no other solution, humanly speaking. It's a time when maybe the doctors say to us, "There's no other option here. I'm sorry. I wish there was." It might be the time when there's a decision that has been delayed and it seems like it's all come down to one point, and you're not going to be able to go any further until you just let it follow through. It's going to take an act of God to get you out of that pickle, out of that problem. Only our Savior can provide divine deliverance. No other king, no other ruler, no other leader, no other pastor, no other situation. When we live our life and we find that we are in the hands of God Almighty and Him alone is our solution, is our help. I want you to understand that many times when we're at that point, we find out and we see that it is our Savior who wants to act, but who also wants us to realize that help is coming from Him and Him alone. That there's no other human effort that contributed to this, no other way this could have happened except through Him. In all those situations, God usually waits until about the 12th hour and waits until the last tick and the last moment of that final hour, in the final minute, to rescue us, to bring His answer to our prayer. In speaking with a member of ours earlier today, I told them, "I'm really glad God brought you some really good news, because it really didn't look good for a while." His comment to me gave me pause and then taught me a very good lesson. I'd rather be with Jesus or here? Here or Jesus? And he said, you know, either way, I had the victory. God's grace was going to shine through the situation. He was going to get me through. And it's in Scripture that we are reminded in here that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not life, not death, not sickness or health. Nothing, nakedness or the sword or persecution or famine. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. That's what Daniel fell into the lion's den with. At daybreak, the king arose and he went in haste to the den of lions. He went to the mouth of the den and he cried out, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God delivered you from the lions? Daniel replied, O King Darius, may you live forever. My God has sent his angels to shut the lions' mouths, and they have harmed me none. Divine deliverance, huh? I want you to hear what our Lord and our Savior Jesus has done. When we start to think about being separated from God because of our sinfulness, and when we start to see that we are unable to save ourselves, we're hopelessly lost. And when we come to the fact and understand what God is doing in providing a way for us to spend eternity in heaven with Him, we are reminded that Jesus too was a man of prayer, like Daniel. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the very night in which He was betrayed. We remember Jesus going to the mountaintops throughout His ministry, and He would pray to His heavenly Father. Like Daniel, He would not be detoured from that heavenly pipeline of answer and strength. And God wants that for you too. The devil did try to trap Jesus and tempt Jesus up until the very end, and even when He was hanging upon the cross, trying to get Him to say, are you going to betray Him? You know, your Heavenly Father? Do you think He's really going to rescue you? Come on down from that cross. But Jesus hung in there. And the reason He hung in there was for you and for me, because He had to pay for the penalty for your sins and mine. And because of that, He was willing to face even falling into the lion's pit, into death and the grave. And He did it for you. And He did it for me. And you know, that really surprises me sometimes when I see who I really am. Jesus did it for you. And He did it for me. Because He loves us. Jesus, like Daniel, was caught in a betrayal from His fellow disciples. He was sold and betrayed over by those who wanted Him killed, like the satraps. Jesus was crucified and did die, but God, it was the one who delivered Him from death and the grave. And His victory became our victory. His body was cast into the den, a cave, and it was covered and sealed with a stone with the ring, the signet ring of Pontius Pilate. And the devil and the crowd cried out, "Crucify Him!" We have a law and He has to die. Oh, so many things like Daniel. But there were 3 days later that as women went to the tomb to bury the body of their loved Lord and Savior Jesus, they had seen on Good Friday that His lifeless, limp body taken down from the cross, laid in a tomb, as dead as the stone they laid Him on. But on Easter morn, they saw something different. The stone that they were worried about moving had been rolled away by the angels they saw on the tomb. And the angels said to them, "Why are you here?" And they said, "We've come to find Jesus. Where's He at?" and Jesus, the angel said, "He's alive. He's risen. God has shut the mouth of death and the grave and given victory over death and the grave to this one Jesus. And you will see him. Go ahead to Galilee where you will see him." And later that same day, Jesus appeared to his disciples behind locked doors and to the women. But later that morning, he appeared to Mary. And there she called Jesus Rabboni. And she saw Jesus alive. And she ran back to the disciples to tell them, "I've seen Jesus." My friends, when you're looking for divine deliverance and you face big things, I hope you remember Daniel in the lion's den. You have a God who shuts the mouth of the lions. But you also have the God who was willing to suffer death and even go into the grave to assure us that even if that's what we're going for, he's already won the battle. In Jesus' name, may we too be people of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ. Amen. This time we'll gather the offerings, and we'd like to have you also sing Amazing Grace with us during this time, verses 1 through 3.
And Savior Jesus, again, I thank you for people such as Daniel, who help us to see, humanly speaking, our need for prayer, and to have a ritual and routine for prayer, to practice it, to speak it, to proclaim it on a daily basis. But Daniel, a man of discipline who would not be detoured from his prayer life simply because of some decree, we thank you for such an example. We thank you also, Lord Jesus, for your example of prayer and how often you prayed and prayed for extended times. Help us, O Lord, to be people of prayer. Help us to also see that we would establish a ritual and a routine, a ritual for our daily prayer life.
help us to trust you as Daniel trusted you, knowing that if it is your will, you would deliver him. We ask, O Lord, in our own lives, in our own world, that we too would also, with Daniel, look for that divine deliverance in the situations that seem to be a dead end. Help us, O Lord, in such times. Help us to see the victory that is ours, be it in heaven, or be it an answer that will affect our here and now. We pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we also ask that you would be with our students of the K to 8. Help them to find places for them to be educated. We thank you for the good news that several have found such places. We pray for our teachers as well, in the K-8 program especially, that you, O Lord, would open the doors for them to find employment and to use the godly given gifts that you've blessed them with. Allow their lights to shine in a new place of employment and to teach young children and to shape their lives as believers and disciples and followers of you. Jesus, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our country, for our president, for our legislators, for our governor and state legislative bodies. We ask, Lord, your peace and your blessing to protect us and defend us, to be extended to all. And we ask for your mercy and your grace to watch over your church and those who faithfully proclaim your word. May you, O Lord, help us to be that place here in Orlando, in this area, for us to be that shining star, that bright beacon of hope. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
And now, O Lord, we also pray for David Soust. We pray, O Lord, for his family, I should say, at his passing. I pray, O Lord, that you would comfort them and give them the good news of the gospel, of the resurrection and the life, the promise of life everlasting, the forgiveness of sins. And for those of us who are left, who mourn his passing, you give hope and peace and strength to face the days that are ahead and to rejoice in the memories that have been given them with their father and friend. Lord, I also pray for Donnie and ask your blessing to be upon him, Donnie Clausen, who passed away earlier today. We ask you, O Lord, a man who never knew how to talk, a man who had disabilities that were significant. Lord, heaven is going to be a very wonderful place for all of us. But for him, there's so many new features that he has never been able to express and live with and enjoy here and now. Lord, may you bless him in his new life with you in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we together pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. Please join us in the singing of our final hymn, 431.